This is Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie. You know, the transitions between these spots are just getting shorter and shorter every year.
No, I don't think it's that. I think we're just getting slower.
Well, that could be too. With us today, we have author Chester Hull and Steve McShay, call sign Richter, a former F-14 demo pilot.
The call signs are assigned usually because of something they've done. So Richter, all I can think of is he's got like really heavy footsteps.
I'm pretty sure they're not even allowed to talk about that, actually.
There's a knowing smile, so I guess you're right.
I was thinking it had something to do with a landing somewhere.
Yeah, possibly.
Because that's how they grade my landings, on the Richter scale.
It may have been related to some broken windows, potentially.
Okay. Potentially.
So this involved the base commander's daughter, but anyway.
Penny Benjamin was in this?
Yeah. Well, how are you guys doing today?
Doing fantastic.
Okay, yeah. I see a book open, and I think he's cheating.
It's an open book right?
You sure?
Yeah, very much.
I don't remember that.
And if my guess is right, the book is called Life on the Flight Deck?
Life on the Flight Deck.
Oh, boy. That's a dangerous place.
Hey, I'm just going to jump in. It's called The Most Dangerous 4.5 Acres on Earth. It's a place where jet blast and prop wash threaten to blow you overboard. Spinning props that are almost invisible threaten to make a sailor disappear. Jet intakes that will suck you inside an engine before you can react. Arresting cables the size of a man's wrist snap across the deck. An aircraft taking off and landing every 45 seconds. Add a 40-mile-an-hour steady wind coming down a pitching, wet deck, and you not have an environment into which only the bravest would dare to venture. And that's the story we're trying to tell.
I'm in.
Yeah. And you actually get people that volunteer for this job?
People volunteer. And
a lot of them.
This is the thing. These kids are 18, 19, 20 years old, working the deck of an aircraft carrier in all kinds of weather, all kinds of dangerous conditions.
Call sign nuts.
Exactly.
It's not only their own lives they're responsible for, but the lives of others. $60 million jets.
Yeah,
that they're moving around the deck.
You know, you see all the different colored hats and vests and stuff, and everybody's got a job, and everybody's got an exact 6 inches they're allowed to stand, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's crazy. It's a ballet.
It is. It's a chaotic ballet. It's organized chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and I mean, when you're launching aircraft, you're not launching one or two. You could be launching a bunch. So it's very time sensitive. You cannot make a mistake.
You can't make any mistakes. There's lives in line every second. All it takes is a small little flinch, and someone's at best going over the side.
Gee, thanks.
That's no fun at all.
Well, do you wear flotation gear? I mean, those things blow up?
Everybody on the deck has to wear some sort of flotation gear, theoretically.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So a lot has been filmed, a lot has been written and told about the jets and the pilots. And what I want to highlight is the work that these kids, I call them. The average age on the deck, I think, is 20.
Okay.
But the work that these kids do, because there's not very much told about their story.
Right. It actually sounds like the safest place to be is in the cockpit.
I think you're right.
That's exactly right. That's what got my attention with Chester, because we spent a week here at Oshkosh, just met him. We didn't talk any shop at all. He had no idea what I did, and I didn't know what he was doing. At the very end, he hands me a business card, and it says, Life in the Flight Deck. He had never been in the military. I do know of connection. And he goes, yeah, I'm really passionate about the true heroes of the flight deck. And the fact that he said that and that he knew that amazed me, because no one knows that. There's lots of movies about pilots and aircraft and all
right.
that. No one talks about the true heroes that actually make that place happen.
Yeah, and you just see them as an afterthought or a side detail.
Right.
How do you train? Is there schools? I mean, do you...
There is. A lot of these kids are coming straight out of high school,
right?
Going right into the Navy. Sometimes they're going to pick a rate. One thing we heard from a lot of sailors is, why'd you join the Navy? I'm in the Navy because of Top Gun.
Okay.
That's why I'm here. The opening scene of Top Gun, you see the yellow shirts directing the jets up to the catapult. And a lot of kids were telling us, I call them kids, but, I'm here because of that. I'm here because of that opening 30 seconds in Top Gun.
You realize that the newer carriers with the electromagnetic cats, there's no more steam, there's no more mystique.
So really gonna miss that, because
yeah.
some of the stuff we were able to capture while we were on, just the steam adds so much to the to the vision.
It's total Hollywood.
But right. Yeah, there's an A school, they call it A school, they go to once you're through the initial Navy basic training, and then you go off to A school and you learn what your particular rate is going to be, whether you're going to work as a plane director, whether you're going to work on the catapults, the resting gear, you know, all these different roles like you talked about with the colored shirts.
But unlike pilots where we have simulators where you can practice this stuff and have engines fail and such, for these guys, you have a little bit of that, but not much. So a lot of it is on the job. So your first experience is on the deck with 30 knots of wind. You can't hear, you can't talk, and you have some Navy chief grabbing you around the neck and pulling you out of the way before you die. So it happens a lot of it on the job training.
Wow.
In the float so coats.
You can always tell a deckhand because he's got bruises on the back of his neck. Right?
The float coats that everybody wears has a cutout on the back, middle of the back. And that's for two purposes. When you're a UI under instruction, you're literally holding on to somebody, being led around the deck to learn your job, where you can go and where you can't go and what you're supposed to do.
Wow.
The second purpose of that is so somebody can grab you and pull you out of the way and save your life.
I guess that happens more than we want to know.
It does.
Now, all the other, like aircraft fueling, ordnance loading, all that's all in the hangar deck, right? None of that occurs on the flight deck.
A lot of that occurs on the flight deck.
Okay.
Of course, there's hangar deck operations for maintenance. Longer, bigger maintenance issues happen on the hangar deck. Certainly, ordnance handling happens below decks, but that they load them on the aircraft, on the deck.
You know, that stuff's hard enough to do, but then add in a rolling, pitching ship while you're trying to attach a missile or something. That doesn't sound like fun.
And don't forget to add weather conditions and a 30-mile-an-hour wind. Yeah.
The wind is what really got me because, you know, you can think about wind in your head, but until you're there and you're trying to do your job in the wind, that was really something.
And it's necessary.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop just for you.
They're not going to stop.
You really have to have your head on a swivel, and you've really got to have your brain engaged.
You really do, or you're dead.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Now, are they on comms? Do they have links?
Most people
all
are
hand
not.
Signals?
It's all hand signals.
And knowing where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Steve, tell them what it feels like to be taxied by a director out at night when you're swinging out.
Even in the daytime, but at night, especially I flew the Tomcat, you're the nose gear is behind you.
Right.
So when you taxi up to the edge, all you see is two wands, and you follow them, and you have to follow them. And once in a while, you'll get a little bit of glow of the moon, and you look over and you'll see waves underneath you because you're hanging over the edge of the deck.
The edge.
And you're relying completely on their direction. If you pause just for a second, you're either going to nudge the edge of it or...
Or get wet.
Right. Yep.
Wow.
Not a good day.
They have their life in your hands, or vice versa.
Yeah. So you always buy them cake on their birthday.
They have a lot of
or
free beer.
Beer.
Yeah. They should not ever buy their own drink, ever. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And what's a typical tour? 2 years for those guys?
A typical tour for enlisted at that level is probably a 4 to 6 year tour.
Okay.
With different at seas. So you'll be on the ship for maybe 6 to 9 months.
You know, the guy that attaches the strut to the nose
yes.
wheel,
mm-hmm.
I guess their knees are shot by the end of the tour. You know,
absolutely.
It hurts just watching it.
And that's a non-skid deck, too. It's not like a polished wood floor.
Very non-skid. Like, don't fall down.
Like sandpaper.
Because it will be uncomfortable.
But covered in grease, though. It's covered in grease and it's wet. So it's non-skid, soaked in grease and wet.
That sounds like an ideal work environment to me.
Wow, let's go. I'm in.
Wow.
The other thing about flight operations is there's no shifts. You don't take a shift. You don't work an 8-hour shift. If it's what they call flight ops, you're working. And it might be 12, 14, 16 hours.
Well, hopefully they do have backup so you get some rest.
You get some rest when they're closed flight quarters. That's when you get rest.
So you guys, pilots are constantly practicing, so they're always somebody being launched and recovered, pretty much.
Yeah.
Not much downtime.
No.
And, of course, in a real combat situation, it's get them all off now.
And some of the sailors were asking, like, what's your hell yeah moment? Like, this is why I joined the Navy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And some of the ordnance guys were telling us it's when we launched the jets and they came back without missiles and bombs.
Came back empty, yeah.
Yep.
So they all got their Sharpie and they're writing things on the missile.
That's
right.
They
do. Yeah.
You know,
they still do.
Welcome to America.
Yep.
Glad to see you.
Yeah. Thank you from Uncle Sam.
That's right.
Come back soon.
Here's your parting gift.
So trying to tell this story, and that's culminated in this coffee table book about life on the flight deck. You can find out more at lifeontheflightdeck.com.
Lots of pictures.
Incredible pictures. The access that Chester got is pretty unheard of. I've been around this a little bit, and people don't do what he does.
Well, first off, most people wouldn't want to.
True.
But, you know. So how many times did you get pulled out of the way?
We had to keep our head on a swivel, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, the other thing is you don't want to trip up anybody that's got a job to do.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's crazy.
It is. It's really is the most dangerous 4.5 acres in the world.
The system evolved over the years, because back in World War II, the planes were a lot slower. You weren't using catapults, blah, blah, blah. Things got a lot more complicated when we got heavier and faster aircraft.
However, we're only one of, I think, two navies that do flight ops at night.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to worry about how high up you are, because you won't see it anyway. You know, geez.
Well, that's why they tell you, call the ball.
How many different occupations are on that flight deck?
That's a really good question. I don't have that number, but specifically, because it comes and goes and depends on the flight ops, but I'm going to say there's probably 15 to 16 different roles that are happening up there all at once. Wow. It's the integration between the ship's crew and the air wing that comes on board.
You know what's got to be the coolest job, though, on that flight deck? The shooter.
The shooter. I love that.
Yeah.
He's got a great picture of the shooter. Actually, several.
Yeah, we get to spend a lot of time in the bubble talking with shooter. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we've been speaking with Chester Hull, who has written the book Life on the Flight Deck. And where can you get it?
Amazon? LifeOnTheFlightDeck.com. Okay. It just launched this week, and it's coming to Amazon very soon.
Cool. And also Steve McShay, an F-14 pilot, about the unsung heroes.
Yep.
We'll never get anybody writing a book about us. But anyway.
Nope.
I'm Digital Dave.
This is Fast Eddie, and we're off to get launched on EAA
Radio. Yeah, we're going to get launched, all right.